The worst game visits the SoCal Retro Gaming Expo. On the Sunday day of the SoCal Retro Gaming Expo on June 8, 2025, there was a tactical alert that arose from protests over ICE actions in the area. As 2,000 National Guard troops moved in, I made my way through the downtown Los Angeles area towards the Pasadena Convention Center. There were no incidents on the way down. Into the vertical line, generation starry. As we waited in line outside with our very diverse and very peaceful fellow LA area retro enthusiasts, a police helicopter hovered above us. It appeared they were looking straight down, wondering why such a crowd had gathered. I want to say it was because they were protecting the gathering, but I'm sure they had no idea what was going on, saw this crowd of mostly young people, and were trying to figure out what they were doing. It might not have helped that ICE, apparently, were staying at a hotel nearby. Luckily, there were no incidents except a long line for the bathroom once the doors opened. As we waited in line, Tilt and Bruce showed up. I was happy to see both of them. I was eagerly anticipating Tilt, who brought his new board for Worst Game. He decided on his own accord to create a logic board for 2600 cards that could support flashed ROM. He opened the case so I could see his work. He got the images for the game screen and the ITVB logo burned onto the PCB. It was thrilling to see in person, a game I made for the Atari 2600 on a cartridge, the perfect start to my first visit to a retro game show in many years. I'd like to say that the show floor and vendors were a panacea of Atari age goodness, but I'd be lying to you. There were lots of vendors, and the tables were set up in a really interesting way where there was enough space between them that you could circle fully around most of them. Most of the vendors were very friendly, and we even spied Pat the NES Punk selling his books. The space was large, maybe six times the size of the SoCal Vintage Computer Festival, but different. These were mostly small retro game shops and eBay sellers, with very little of the show and tell at the VCFs. Most of what was for sale was from the Nintendo age. In fact, very, very little was from the Atari age. There were almost no computer games to speak of. A couple IBM PC games, a few Commodore 64, almost zero Amiga or Atari ST. I would surmise that much less than 1%, maybe 0.1% of the product on sale came from before 1985. Maybe a few dozen loose Atari cards, a small handful of box games, a few Jaguar and a couple Lynx games, a smattering of Intellivision boxes, and that's it. I did find a CIB copy of Astro Chase for the Atari 800, which was nice, but the lack of Atari age goods made me switch gears mid-flight, and instead I looked for Sega Master System games. Of the literally thousands of Nintendo and Genesis cards, there were maybe 30 SMS cards to choose from, most of them multiple duplicates of easy-to-find games. This might have been a symptom of going on the last day, Sunday. As one vendor said, his stuff had been well picked over by then. So next year, my goal will be to hit on the first day and see what I find. But I don't think it'll be much better. It's obvious these shows are really millennial nostalgia. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's still a bit disheartening. Still, I carefully looked through every booth twice. Being old and Gen X, I realized I could come off as an asshole no matter what I did, so I tried to be careful and polite. I found that a smile and a nod went a long way to build an instant rapport with almost everyone. Speaking of nods, the one nod to the Atari age was a table manned by David Crane, Gary Kitchen, and Dan Kitchen, selling their three titles from Audacity Games. I own all of them, so I said a quick hello. They did not recognize us, even though we've interviewed them multiple times and even hired them to make games for us in the 2000s, but alas, we are still randos in their universe. One of the reasons to attend on Sunday was to go to their panel at 1 p.m. We made it inside, and there were about 20 people there to hear them speak. I have to say, the SoCal Retro Expo really let these guys down for this panel. There was no moderator and no tech person to help them with the PA, so they sat about 20 feet away and tried to talk loud. Of course, they are older, and so are we, and no one can hear as well as they used to, so a lot of the time, they were strained to hear and understand what they were saying. They also strained to hear the questions Jeff and I asked them. This was kind of a travesty. Added to that, the Tetris competition in the room next door was loud, and the cheers wafted through the mostly vacant panel room. It was like a double smack of diss. These were the pioneers of the industry, being drowned out by kids playing a game that was basically stolen by Nintendo from Atari Tengen in the 80s and forever presented as their own. It was like a microcosm of everything I truly hate about the game industry post-Nintendo, a company that managed to, through somewhat illegal business practices, and admittedly a lot of great games, drown out everything that came before. I wanted to go back and talk to the Audacity guys, but they packed up early and left. Maybe because of the poor treatment they received in their panel discussion. But I digress. The gameplay area was large. There were lots of consoles to check out and even some board gaming. Before we went for lunch, Tilt, Jeff, and I found an Atari 2600 Jr. and occupied it to test the worst game. It felt sort of like a guerrilla operation, putting this untested cart in someone else's machine, but it was also thrilling to see if the cart worked on the game room floor. I stuck it in and turned on the console, and like magic, the game fired up, so I tried to play it, and you know what? With the joystick, it was actually not that bad. I have to say, making the worst game is no easy thing to do. It was actually kind of fun to play. The next step is to get a printed label, and then I will have my very, very limited edition Atari 2600 game. While the Tetris competition was annoying while in the panel room, I have to say watching it was something else entirely. The kids, mostly kids anyway, competing had otherworldly skills. We were mesmerized and stood to see how one of the heats turned out. I can see why people were cheering. Watching the competition was sublime. It occurred to me then that some here probably think Nintendo invented Tetris. While watching it also occurred to me that it's probably the best single screen game ever made. You cannot win Tetris. It's inevitable that the game will end. It really came from the time before Nintendo. It kind of capped off the Atari age of gaming, before the narrative age of video games started in earnest. Even if people here don't outwardly appreciate Atari age games, by competing in a game of Tetris, they were celebrating the age, even if they didn't realize it. We capped off the day by playing a few games in the free-to-play arcade before parting ways and going home. There's a diverse set of people at the SoCal Retro Expo. Every color, creed, gender represented. No one seemed to care about any of it, and for good reason, as everyone was there to kneel at the altar of the games we love so much. Games that come from a time of physical media, when playing multiplayer was mostly playing with your brother or sister or a friend on the couch, sitting inches away while friendship and bonds were formed or lost in real time, and while playing games that were abstract representations of real-world activities. It was a place where reality was created between the gaming participants who were there in person, not by the comments on the online game stream. After I left and drove home, I made it just through the gauntlet of downtown LA before all hell broke loose. I saw a few cops and tactical alert looking nervous, watching freeway entrances on the 110, but mostly it was all fine, and I got home in 45 minutes. Later on YouTube, I watched a bunch of cars burning on the street and saw some protesters barricaded as the rubber bullets, foam batons, and tear gas grenades flew by. I saw the freeway I just traversed occupied by people trying to make their voices heard. When I found out that the burning cars were driverless Waymos, I was struck by how appropriate that seemed. In an era where we worship technology at the expense of actual people, the first victims of the revolution are the means under which the people are subjugated. But that did not ruin my mostly good day. Even without a lot of Atari age goodness, the SoCal Retro Expo was a good experience. While LA is being invaded by an unnecessary militarized force based on an illusionary fantasy created by a madman, the SoCal Retro Expo reminded me that the physical world is basically good. The real world is basically good. And the people that inhabit it are also, for sure, basically good.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.